is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a wonderful day it is. You know, we have a beautiful sunny day down here in central Texas, but it really doesn't matter what the weather is. I love it when it's rainy and when it's cold and when it's hot. I just believe the Lord has created a wonderful place for us to live. But can you imagine what heaven will be like? I cannot. I really can't. I've tried many times to imagine. But the Bible itself says that we're unable, as just mere men, to conceive, to envision what a great, great place we're going to be in. Jesus, of course, said that in my Father's house there are many mansions. And there are a lot of great old gospel songs about mansions on the hill and all of that. And I've always said it doesn't matter where I live in heaven. I live in a cave or in a hovel or a shack, long as I can be there and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's true joy, true contentment. And that's what we really should all shoot for. And I think many people have been pierced with many sorrows, as the good word says, by seeking riches. Many others, of course, think that money cures everything, but believe me, it doesn't. And I wish sometimes we could take a survey of the happiness quotient of the poorest people on this planet and compare it with the happiness quotient of the billionaire families. We may be surprised to discover that those who are very poor in great poverty nevertheless are rich in spirit. And I wonder sometime about that. Well, I do know this much. It doesn't matter what condition you find yourself in. The Apostle Paul said, as long as you have Christ, you have great contentment. And that's on earth and in heaven. Well, today we're going to continue our series on the rapture controversy. Oh, many people are concerned about this. And I don't know that hardly a day goes by that in my mail, or even personally, people don't ask me if I'm pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, or A-trib, just amillennial. They ask me all those questions, and I always point them to the Bible. So interesting, too, that sometimes I'll give people a Bible verse, and I'll say, now you figure out what I am. They'll read it, and one man will come back and say, oh, well, I'm glad to see you're pre-trib. I read that Bible verse, you're pre-trib. And another comes back and says, well, I can see that you're not pre-trib. And I just laugh at them. But the Bible is clear. And I don't understand how men can get it all mixed up, except that the Bible says that Jesus spoke in parables, and other than in parables, he spoke not at all. Oh my, that's a mystery. What's a parable? Well, look it up in Webster's, but I'll tell you, it means something that many people may think is a story, but it has a reality dimension. A parable has a reality dimension. It connects with the real world. It's not a myth because it stands significantly for something that is genuine, authentic, real, objective. So keep that in mind when the Bible talks about parables. They are meaningful. They're not Benjamin Franklin maxims. You know, some people not too long ago criticized me, and they wrote me a letter, some Christian group, and they said, how dare you to expose false teachings and false teachers? Why, who are you to do that? And I wrote them back, and I pointed out Ephesians 5, verse 11, that tells us to have no part with the works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. Reprove, of course, means to expose, unmask them, show them up for the lie they are. Rebuke, reprove, that's what it means. So you're not to have any part with the works of darkness, but that's only half of it. In other words, don't get involved in evil works, but that's not enough just to stay uninvolved. Just to stay out of it is not enough. You're supposed to be aggressive, assertive. Go forth and expose these things. You know, my friends, if you worked at a bank and you knew you were a teller, let's say, or a cashier, and you knew the cashier in the next booth to you was stealing money, stealing the bank blind, every day, let's say, he or she would take $500 or $600 and stuff in their purse or in their back pocket. What would you do about it? Would you say to yourself, well, I'm not an evildoer. Oh, I'm so glad that I am so straight. I am so moral. I am not a thief like that man. I just feel so good. I can sleep at night knowing I'm not a sorry robber like him. Would that make you feel good? Would that make you feel justified? Do you not have a responsibility to tell your employer what's going on? You see, my friend, if you know about a great crime that's occurring and you say nothing about it, do nothing about it, you become an accomplice after the fact. If you know of a young child being molested by a stepfather living in the apartment next door to you, but you say, well, it's none of my business, why should I get involved? Do not think that you are innocent, my friends. You are equally guilty with the evil doer. I wrote back to this group and I told them that this was why I did what I did. I simply followed the commandment of our Lord as explained by his apostle, Paul. I got a letter back and they said, well, we know Paul wrote that, but probably that had to do with some pagan religion back in Paul's day. That doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. Ah, now we can cherry pick the evils we're to expose. In other words, you can only expose evil 1900 years ago. You can't expose it today. Yeah, well, you want to cherry pick what you're going to get involved in. The person steals $500 a day from the till at the bank, you say, well, that's not enough for me to expose that person, to turn them in. I wouldn't do that. Then they start taking $1,000, $2,000. Pretty soon the bank is on the verge of collapse, not having the funds to continue employing you. But none of it is your responsibility. At what point do you step in, my friends? We all have a responsibility, do we not, to tell the truth. We have a responsibility to expose evildoers. And you know, sometimes it's a lot of trouble. Sometimes they'll come after you. Oh, yes. Absolutely. They'll come after you. But there are things you have to do when you know evil is going on. And that's why I do in my newsletters what I do. I don't have any recourse. I cannot say, well, the Apostle Paul wrote only for those people 1900 years ago. When I know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If adultery was wrong 4,000 years ago, it's wrong today. If thousands of years ago, however long it was, some people say they've got it figured out to the day, and I certainly believe in creation science rather than evolution, but I don't know how long ago it was, but we know it's been a while back that Cain slew Abel, murdered him. Is the prohibition against murder still valid today? I think it is. In fact, I shouldn't even say think. I know it is. Some people say, but the Ten Commandments are not valid for today. They were in the Old Testament. They were written in stone back then, but they don't mean anything to us today. Friends, listen. Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to abolish the traditions of men that claim to be the law. And he wrote the law on men's hearts, those who know him. If you are a Christian, I believe the law that tells you not to murder, the law that tells you to worship only God Almighty, the law that tells you not to take up or have any idols, the law that tells you not to steal, to lie, to commit adultery, those are all written on your heart. And if you go out and do them by claiming they're not written in stone anymore, you are an imposter to Christianity. Now, what am I leading up to in all this? Simply this, my friends. We must always tell the truth. What does the Bible then say about the rapture? About us being lifted up to be with Jesus Christ? I'll be very honest with you. There are many people that are pressuring me to go one way or the other. They say, Tex Mars, we will not support your ministry, Bible Home Church, anymore unless you believe the way we do. Others say, if you don't believe the way I do, you're not even a Christian, on the rapture controversy. Well, friends, I believe in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I believe in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I believe in Isaiah 26, 27. And what do those verses in Scripture say? Well, that's the purpose for our continuing series. And if you have a dispute with me at the end of this series, I'd love to hear from you if you disagree with me. But when you do, I only ask one great, great favor of you. Would you point out the Scripture where I'm wrong? If you don't believe in a rapture at all, would you please tell me what it means in 1 Thessalonians when it says we'll be caught up in the air? Please tell me what that means. Would you do that? And when Paul says in 2 Thessalonians about the gathering up of the saints, if you don't agree with me on the meaning of that, would you tell me what that does mean? In other words, don't just say, Tex, you're all wet. I mean, I have enough people telling me that. And if I'm all wet by now, my head's like a sponge. It must be as big as the Atlantic Ocean full of water. It's been taking on the dampness for a long time. But you know why I've survived all the attacks on this ministry over the years? Some people say, I don't know how you've overcome that. Why you didn't succumb to the great, great criticisms that you've taken. I mean, my friends, listen. I have to say, I have not hit it as hard as the apostles. Remember, Paul talked about how many times he was beaten and, oh my goodness, everything that happened to that poor man. He stuck his hand in toward a fire and a serpent bit him and there was a shipwreck. And one time they had to hide him in a basket and lift him down from a wall. People sought to kill him. He was thrown in prison. Oh my, beaten with a rod. I mean, he received stripes. Don't you know that hurt? I can't complain then. All I get is verbal abuse. Boy, and I get enough of it. I have about 500 dump trucks full, if you could measure it. Why can I overcome all of that? How can I exist? Is it because I'm such an elephant, thick-skinned creature who doesn't care? No, my feelings can get hurt too. I especially am hurt when people lie about what I have said. But the reason why I never stop, I'm just like, you know, that commercial of that little bunny that keeps going and going. I think it's Ever Ready or Energizer or something like that. Batteries. I'm like that little bunny. I just keep on going. Why? Why can I do it? Because I know I'm following the Scripture. I may have personal failings, but I want to tell you something, friends. I have a keen sense that God will always be right. Whatever Tex Mars says or does, if he follows the Scriptures, he's going to come out okay. You know, it's like a cat that you throw out of a 39-story building and he lands on his feet and you say, boy, what a miracle. Friends, let me tell you something. They're throwing Tex Mars out of 101-story skyscrapers, you know, every hour of the day, verbally. The abuse is incredible. How do I always land on my feet? Well, sometimes I think I do fall on my back, but I get up, I stumble, I fall, I brush myself off, and I go about my business. Why? Because I've got a lifeline to the truth. It's in the Scriptures. It's not in my head. Some men challenge me and they say, you're wrong about this. And they give me scriptures. And you know what? I go back and I study. But I don't just take their scriptures. I look at the whole counsel of God. That's what you and I must do. We must be good Bereans. And when I am a good Berean, I find that most of the so-called Bible scholars and theologians are full of the devil. They don't ask what God says. They say, here's what I believe. Now, let me try to find some, obscure Bible verse that'll back me up. And they don't dare go to the whole scriptures. They know they're living a lie. But I go to the whole scriptures over and over and over, and I look for these things and discover. And I'll tell you, friends, the Bible has never let me down. Men have always let me down. I was telling my wife, Wanda, just last night, I said, you know, there are very few men who have not let me down in life. I said, you're really an exception. You haven't let me down. And she looked at me and smiled, and I said, I haven't let you down, I don't believe. She said, no, you haven't. And I said, but you know something, sweetheart, as much as I love you, I put the greatest amount of trust in Jesus Christ. I don't think you're ever going to let me down, but even if you did, I still have Jesus. A lot of people go to churches and they see people who are sinning, who pretend to be Christians, and they say, what hypocrites, I'm not going to go to church anymore. They're letting the hypocrite stand between them and God. I used to do that once upon a time as a young man. I was very dedicated. Oh, I was going to be a positive believer in Jesus Christ. And I met many, many pastors who disappointed me. And for a while I said, well, you know, maybe Christianity must not even be true. Look at these men and the lives they're living. I did. That's what I said. Now, I realize that's a great sin. You see, I was attempting to bring God down to the level of these men. If these men who are disciples of God are fakes and imposters, then God must be a fake. Oh, my friends. That's ridiculous. I had a companion overseas. I say a companion. He's a military guy. All of us were brothers, a band of brothers, you might say, or companions in the U.S. Air Force over in Thailand. During the Vietnam War, we were stationed there. Our planes were taking off every day to bomb the Vietnamese targets. And this friend went downtown to a jewelry store there in Koh Rat, Thailand, and he had this wristwatch, and I forget what brand it was, but it was one of the higher-priced brands. And boy, it was a beautiful gold watch. And it was only 10% of the price it would have been in America. He said, I just don't know how they do it over here. Well, he found out how they did it. The watch had a beautiful casing, but inside it was just a cheap throwaway watch that must have been made by, you know, I don't know who. But it only lasted him about 40 days, that watch. And he brought it to a jewelry expert to find out what was wrong with it. And they opened it up and they said, this is not that brand of watch. This is a cheap knockoff brand. He went, what? It looked like that, whether it was, I don't know, it wasn't Rolex, but let's say it was a Bulova or a Seiko or whatever. It looks like a Seiko, they see, but it's not. But you know what, friends? They told him there is a genuine Seiko watch. It would cost you around $300. He said, well, I only paid like $20 for that. And they said, well, you didn't even get $20 worth. But there is a real Seiko watch company. And they make fine watches that you can count and depend on. I believe it was Seiko, come to think of it. Now, friends, many men and women are imposters, fakes, pretenders, hypocrites. But do not ever assume that the real does not exist. It does exist. And God is there. Don't criticize God because his disciples, some of them, are imposters. Continue to strive to follow the true one who sits on the throne. I made that mistake for a while. I had to repent of that. You see, even in doing that, I was keeping my eyes fixed on men. You know what happens when you do that? Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on other men. Lean only on God. And this is true of the rapture. Some say the rapture is not in the Bible. The word is not found in the Bible. That's true. But are we going to be caught up in the air to be with our Lord? Absolutely. And I want you to know the facts about it. Now, some people take the doctrine of the rapture, the catching up of the saints, and they stick all kind of little bitty pet doctrines inside of it. You know, my friends, you can dress up a Heinz 57 dog, but he still won't be a purebred. You can take a banana and paint it 56 colors and put gold jewels on it, but it's still a banana. When you peel it back, it's going to be just like a banana that has nothing on it. I think you get the gist of what I mean here. Many people have added all of these false demonic trappings to the concept, the true concept, that we're going to be caught up in the air. They'll say, now, after we're caught up, here's what's going to happen on earth. There's going to be a Jewish kingdom, blah, 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 baloney. Or, well, we're going to be caught up in the air, and then we're going to come right back down and set up an earthly kingdom. Why would you be caught up in the air if you're going to be coming right back down to set up an earthly kingdom again? That's what I heard Hal Lindsey say. No, we're going to be caught up, and then we're going to come right back down. Seems like it's a lot of wasted effort by the Lord Jesus to go up and then down. Up, he's no yo-yo manufacturer, my friends. But some people think he is. Strange things people think about the catching up of the saints. It's better to use the whole counsel of God, but don't add on to it your pet doctrines. A lot of people are so angry and upset about the rapture of the saints, and they don't believe it because so many lies have been told about it. You know, it comes garbed with garbage. And you have to tear away all these trappings to get at the truth of Scripture. That's the way the devil works. If he cannot destroy Scripture, he just dresses it up as something else. It's like a nice young man who becomes perverted, and then he starts dressing up as a drag queen transvestite. Somewhere there, beneath all of the evil trappings of transvestitism, is a real young man. Well, there is a real Bible, there is a real Word of God. Now, we'd like to hear from you, and if you're led by the Lord to help us continue this ministry with your love gift, donations, or tithes, we need your help. And we thank you immensely for it. And we appreciate those who are continuing to give on a regular basis toward this worldwide ministry and outreach. Now we're going to have today's segment, our portion, our continuing series, The Rapture Controversy. Listen to what Isaiah says again here. He says, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid." Wow. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger." Here's what Zephaniah said. He said, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly." He says, "That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung." It goes on to say, "The whole land shall be devoured. He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." It says here in Isaiah, in fact, that even the mountains shall be melted with their blood. The slain will be cast out, delivered to slaughter. My friends, I'm telling you, the wrath of the Lord is a great and frightening thing. How can you escape such a wrath?
Through salvation. Through salvation. Now, we're going to take you right through the Bible here, because I know there's some of you out there, and I say, now, Tex, I probably don't agree with you on the rapture. That's okay. You don't have to agree with me, but would you please promise to do one thing? Would you please believe in the words of God that I'm going to read to you? That's all I ask. I don't need any more than that. You'll still be my friend even if you don't agree with me. If you write me a letter and say, I don't like what you said, that's okay. Yeah, you're still my friend. I'm not going to abandon you, my friend. But I'll tell you, you're wrong. How can I do that? I'm not haughty. I'm not arrogant. I just read the Word of God. You know, some years ago, a man came to me and he had a book and he asked me to write the foreword. He says, Tex, you're well known and respected, and I believe if you were to write the foreword for this book, a lot of people would want the book and want to acquire the book because your name would be on it, you know, in small letters on the front page, on the cover, the foreword by Tex Morris. Well, I read the book and I could see right away that it didn't go along with the rapture doctrine as taught by all the famous of the world. You know, the famous being Billy Graham and Hal Lindsey and John Woolford and Dwight Pentecost and J.R. Church and all those others. I could see right away his book, although it was a very fine book and was very biblical, it did not agree with these other prophecy teachers.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.